DJ Event Planner will change the way you manage and run your business. Streamline all of your procedures and software into one easy-to-manage system. DJ Event Planner, the ultimate online planning tool. Tonight's DJ and TV show is sponsored in part by Electro Voice, DJ Event Planner, ADJ, NLFX Professional, Promo Only, Newmark, and DJ and TV Insiders.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Running Your DJ Business with KC and Brian B. with special guest tonight, Adam Weitz.
That's right. As you guys can see, there is no Brian B. He is an active working DJ, and as a result of that, he is actually out working tonight. So we asked our good friend and marquee show presenter to fill in, and we've got an exciting topic today. I'm going to let Adam tell you a little about himself, but really what we're talking about tonight is adding musicians of all kinds, shapes, sizes for different types of events, and nobody knows it better than him. So, Adam, thanks for being on the show, buddy.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. So I know that you're big on the East Coast, and you and I have been friends for like 20 years via the DJ Times. What's that?
Longer.
Has it been longer, really?
Yeah, we've been friends, let's see, if I'm calculating correctly, probably 28, 29 years.
Has it been that long? Because Atlantic City, New Jersey was 94 for me.
Okay.
I met you probably 94, 95.
All right, so 24 years.
Yeah, so it's still longer than most. So, So that's that. So, so for those of you that know Adam on the East Coast that are tuning in, you guys know him from speaking at the DJ Times DJ Expo. You may also know him from being, a 16-time DJ of the year or something like that?
I think it's actually 13 and 7/8, but okay. We won't count.
There we go. So you've won it quite a few times.
Just a few times, yeah.
Okay. And then you're a pretty solid fixture as well on the circuit there as well.
Well, it's been very enjoyable, you know, the whole experience with DJing, and kind of a segue into what Casey was saying. My experience in DJing came from simply watching younger DJ artists that got started when they wanted to get themselves involved in making a side income. So imagine we were talking about what's your hustle, and right, we were talking about
Brian Bonas. Right. He wrote an article for this month's Disc Jockey News, which has gotten a little bit of drama. So don't think it's really
that's a good thing.
Drama is good. Fair drama is good.
Drama is good. It stirs up the opinion. But right. the point being is that there were people that were insurance agents or, you know, computer specialists, but they were musicians. They were doctors who gave up their professions because they loved the music industry, and thus getting into live music as the industry grew, that became their master profession. I was a band leader's son. So okay. I grew up being in this industry since I was probably like 11 or 12, and then actually having the courage to get on the bandstand around 13 years of age. So being in the live music industry has always been part of my life. All my family were musicians, and then my grandfather, God bless, and my other grandfather, my other side. So it's always been surrounding my life. And then somewhere somewhere around the the mid to late 90s, mm-hmm. I got a lot of people that were saying, hey, you know, this is the hottest new thing for the bar and bat mitzvahs. I had done a ton of live work for bar and bat mitzvahs, but it's the DJ industry that started becoming really big in New York.
Okay. And
they were going to start bringing it down here. So a lot of us just started riding the coattails of other people that had great ideas about DJing. Just like everything else from Philly, we steal everything from New York anyway. So okay. we basically came up with DJ Productions, and that started the train ride with a lot of the production. So disc jockeys that were working where they were standing behind their gear and they were playing the music, being on the microphone, that was okay. One episode, but then the episodes got more deeper where the entertainer could step out and be the master of ceremonies. So now you had your MC and your DJ. Now, people like me who had a musical background, I was not just doing MC work, but I was singing besides dancing. And then I started bringing my musician friends because they were calling me on the phone saying, yo, man, what about us? Don't forget us, man. You're doing this DJ thing. We need your love. And I said, you know what? Let me think about some stuff. So we started putting on some musicians. Like the first, I think, compliment that we offered was things like male and female vocalists. So I was a male vocalist. So I would bring on my female vocalist. We would do duets and we would sing to the tracks. Then I would have a conga percussionist and they would come in and add a lot of the fun percussions to the music that's being played.
Cool.
And then you had, you know, if you were doing weddings and they said, well, we would really love to have the DJ concept, but can you offer live music? I said, absolutely. So a lot of my colleagues that were in the industry that were violinists or flautists, pianists, they always had a chance to join me. So my signature when creating the DJ production industry has always included the live music. It's very much a part of who I am. I truly enjoy working with fellow musicians, but it's a tough gig to combine unless you have a understanding of the musical background. So right away, it's not going to be for everybody, but there are some really interesting tips that you can accumulate and put into your formulas that will allow you to bring the live music onto your shows. And gotcha. I can, you know, give you a little insight on what that is tonight.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want to, no disrespect to the Disc Jockey News audience, but we don't
not at all.
Everything away because then they've got no reason to come see you present in at Marquee. So, I'm sure I'll get a little bit of flack from people saying, why did he hold him back? But that's all right. So forgive me for looking away. I'm trying to find our feed on Facebook, and for some reason, it's just not loading. And that way, I know I like to interact with people.
Okay.
I know
that. Am I supposed to be doing that too? Because
No. Why don't we just concentrate on you being brilliant?
That does require a lot of concentration and medicine. Okay.
Well, you know, for some reason, she's not coming up. But Jody's on YouTube, Jody Harris, and she said hello.
What's up, Vegas?
Rick Shunk from Styles Entertainment in the beautiful northern Wisconsin area has also said hello. And for some reason, my Facebook's just not loading, so I'm going to continue to try throughout this broadcast. So let's kind of gave you a little bit of an introduction on how you got started, but let's talk about the week. So you brought up the side hustle, and it sounds like the side hustle's in the music industry is everybody's got a side hustle. And for those of you that don't know, Brian Bonacici, who is my normal co-host for the show, wrote an article this past month in Disc Jockey News, and it was about having a side hustle. There's nothing wrong with having a part-time gig to help you get through the slow times or put some money away for a rainy day in the event that, A, you have the free time, B, you know, maybe your business is growing or it's in a recession or what have you, it's declining a little bit. And Byron Gunter, actually, from Buckeye Entertainment in Columbus, mm-hmm. actually was just he had a totally different point of view. He was really upset, saying this is the worst advice ever.
Sure, it wasn't Rod over his shoulder, just like saying, yeah, tell him.
I don't know. So I know that they're friends, but yeah, so that was that. So now the musicians, I think a lot of musicians, tragically, because it's just a very tough industry, is that music for a lot of people, being a musician is a side hustle, right? You're playing on a band on the weekends or performing at weddings on the weekends while you have a normal job during the week. Is that true?
It really depends on where you're rooted. Okay, so for example, I went to college and I got my degree, and it was in business administration and marketing.
Okay.
But I was able to apply that to running my own DJ company. Okay. And okay. I also worked in other DJ companies and I learned about it, and I was able to start it as a business, run it as a business, keep running it. And when there were subsidiaries that needed to be created to bring in side income, it was always relative to the DJ industry because you could use that client base to market.
Sure.
So why wouldn't you take advantage of that? If I decide to do a shout out to 50,000 people saying, hey, I have this new business and it's non-related to dental, or excuse me, to Freudian slope, it's non-related to the DJ industry, there's only a very small percentage of people that might react to that.
Right.
You know, the loyalty of you doing something different is not going to necessarily be there unless you're just a well-known superstar like Casey. Sure. If you can incorporate the different industries into your business and tie it together, that's a great side hustle, and keeping it within your DJ family. So my side hustle was bringing live musicians into the DJ industry because A, it's music, and B, there's a lot of guests at parties that really dig the live sound.
Sure.
Even the DJ productions. I mean, Sean Big Daddy McKee, he loves to sing Josh Groban
Sweet tune. Caroline.
No.
You Raise Me Up.
Raise Me Up. Thank you. Yeah. And he loves to sing that song, and he kills it every time he sings it. And then people do like that double take. I can't believe that's him singing the song. You know, incorporating that small, and I'll say it as a compliment, effortless, little bit of a side talent of his to be able to incorporate makes a huge difference, sets him apart from other people, where that was the one factor somebody that was at that wedding needed to say, that's what I want.
And okay,
that's why it's a great gig.
So for the average person that's watching right now and going, oh, you know, I've seen this before and everything else, and it sounds kind of cool, what would you say is the baby step for them to get into live entertainment?
You were gonna finish something.
I mean, is there a specific thing like you would say, this is going to require the least amount of rehearsal time or what have you? Like, what's probably going to be the easiest thing for them to dip their baby toe into the water?
I talked to many DJs around the country. They have always called and said, hey, you sing. And they don't necessarily know what I do as far as incorporating the live music, but they'll start with you sing. Mm-hmm. I do this. And some will say, I play violin. Someone says, I play piano. I'm a drummer. And, you know, there are a lot of very talented musicians that became DJs. And so I am always a fan of saying, start with yourself. So let's differentiate the individuals that have a musical background from the ones who don't. And we're going to get to the ones who don't in a second.
Okay.
But, so if you were to say, how would you start off? Okay. Are you a musician? And if you are a musician, how can you incorporate your talent into your DJ production? So let's pick, for example, I had the pleasure of watching a friend of mine in the Pennsylvania area. It's Jason Clock. He's Jason, of course, you know, he is he's a closet drummer. Okay. He was in high school. He was always hitting it. Did that come out?
Sorry. Roofed over it.
So he was always performing, but when he got involved in the DJ industry, he never really incorporated the live music into it. So one day when we were hanging out, he was like really thirsty. And he said, man, I really want to get back on this. And you should. You should bring a small kit. I have an electric drum kit, which is really easy to transport. When I want to bring out a conga percussionist or a drummer, I can bring out a few instruments and set it up. And what's nice is you can hire people that may not have this instrument, but they are really killer drummers, and they can help you along, and you can just set up their setup. So that's one instrument that you can do to get started: congas and drums, percussions, and you can do all sorts of hand instruments. So like I'm sitting here and claves. Okay. So when you're playing a Latin tune and you can learn how to play hand instruments, it's really fantastic. And people get into that. There are also, if you're a singer, mm-hmm. if you happen to know how to incorporate singing with somebody, can do duets. If you play a string instrument, you should be incorporating this right away. You, as the DJ master of ceremonies, should be incorporating that. That's the first step. Then you can say, how can I complement this instrument with another instrument? Well, don't right away start thinking, oh, I'm gonna have a band. It doesn't work that way. If you're gonna walk before you run, so they say, mm-hmm. you should try to have three different instruments on your DJ production that are just fun, that individually they can incorporate their sounds into your music. So
right.
there's a friend of mine who's a kick-ass saxophone player. Because he understands the concept of playing the brass so well, he plays amazing clarinet, and he's a flautist, because most sax players that are professionals at one point can play all three instruments. So I have him doing an accompaniment for the flute during the wedding ceremonies. He can be playing what they call soprano saxophone, which is like that Kenny G type of gig, or you can play an alto sax if you're playing the Billy Joel and the solos. It's fantastic. These are really fun factors you can include in your DJ production. I will tell you this though, do not have to feel that you can have these musicians playing the whole time. You want to sell it to the client where this is a really nice featurette, but it's only performed and intonated when the song deserves it. And we mix it properly. So when the sax comes in, it sounds like the sax part of the song, not a saxophone player playing on top of a track.
Because, so now let me ask you a question though. Is there a lot of rehearsal time to do this? So the people have realistic expectations of this. This isn't the type of thing where you just roll with it, right? I mean,
if you're saying that a DJ doesn't practice his trade, then they're not doing the most value they can to earn their trade.
It's not a matter of what the DJ is doing or not doing. It's a matter of, you can sit down in your own living room and you can spin and do a mix set and do whatever you want to at your own leisure. Now, when you're bringing in two and three people to play along with you, the question being is, are you giving them the tracks that you know that you're going to want them to play? And then
they rehearse
it in their, okay.
Yeah. And then to answer you formally, should they have rehearsals? Yes. If you are someone that has an office space, and then of course your office space, I would say maybe, you know, 7 or 8 DJs have office space connected to their warehouses, right?
Right. So
if you have that warehouse space, there's no reason why on a weekday evening, which is usually the target time that you're going to get everybody out of work, out of their daytime gigs, and over to your studio to rehearse, because it's not necessarily about what you're playing, but how you're performing it. So I have always said to many DJs, when you are bringing on other individuals, when you are bringing on musicians that can incorporate a sound, there should be choreography along with it. That's a show. People want to see that. I've had saxophone players that go out, they lead the conga line around the room because they're on a wireless,
sure,
wireless mic, and with a clip. And that way they can incorporate their interaction with the crowd. Conga percussionists we've brought up the brides and grooms, and our good friend in Connecticut or Massachusetts, Johnny Kay, who got up on the stage one time, and he really showed me something very funny when it came to conga percussionists. You had the bride on one side, you had the groom on another, and the bride was filling in these really percussions, and all the groom had to do was just like hit it once, and we would make him purposely screw up so everyone can just see how gorgeous the bride is. And it was just a cute way of being able to kind of bring some humor, but it's choreography, it's practicing, it's a show. But the what they're doing, what they're playing, when they come in, how much emphasis that they need on the song is relevant to them rehearsing that track at home.
Okay.
They should have that down flat before they come into your a rehearsal space, and which is magical today. Of course, you can film them doing it, film ourselves doing the routines,
right?
And then give it to them to practice when they go home. So you can cut down on your rehearsal time. The more rehearsal you do together, the better it's going to be. So if you're really going to take on this lion, there's no reason why you shouldn't just stick a toe in. You're going to jump.
Go on.
What is that?
Sorry, for some reason my computer is not showing me our Facebook feed, so I can't take anybody's questions. And
should I try to go on?
No, it's okay. I wound up flipping it onto my phone, and that's where it is. That way I can say hello to people while we're talking. But for, I don't know if it's just my computer, or it must be if I'm getting it on our phone, on my phone. So I apologize for
no apologies.
I had to turn the volume down. So you were saying, I'm sorry.
No, it's just like anything else. The more you put into it, the more you get out. So if you're going to do something, even when it's 1, 2, 3 musicians, you want to practice, you want to have a scheduled time to practice. Okay. You know, you want to start off small with one instrument. Fantastic. You know, come up with what you need. Rehearse those songs at home. So when they come in and they're performing with you, you can work more on the choreography and less on when they're jumping in on the song.
Okay.
And that's really the best advice I can give when you're starting. Now, we had mentioned about the DJ being the musician. What if they're not a musician, right? Let's go for the whole other side of the spectrum. What if they have absolutely no idea what it's like to be a musician? I would say that's a fallacy, because if you're a disc jockey, you're a musician. And the reason why I'm proudly going to say that is because you understand the concept of rhythm, timing, beats, breaks.
Have you seen DJs dance at a DJ convention? I don't know if they quite have that rhythm.
Okay, well, let's give them some faith and say, for those that are learning and always striving to become better than who they are, if they understand the concept.
Your mic just went out.
I got it. Sorry. All this technology and a little wires with what holds everything together. When you are in your beginning stages of incorporating musicians into your network, you understand the rhythm of things. So if, let's say, you want to start off with we mentioned a conga percussionist, you yourself understand that if they're coming in and their conga playing sounds obnoxiously fast or loud over your playing, as a DJ professional, you'd say, listen, this is not a live gig. Okay, so you have to play back a little and allow the music itself, what we're playing, to blend in and listen to it. Have them, you should put on headphones so they can hear the mix between the two. So when you're at the job, they know, you know, just like any other musician knows when to come in a little harder, knows when to play a little softer. It's the same thing. So if they're rehearsing it and they understand when they're supposed to back off a little, it's going to have a nice blend. And the DJ is, there's no one more qualified to tell them that than the DJ.
Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. That's just it. And of course the DJs can have these great remixes and you can incorporate your remix. So that's just something that I think that the DJs are extremely qualified to do, even if they're on the other ends of the spectrum.
Sure. All right. So Sean Patterson's saying hello. Being
What's music up, Sean?
Is a musical being music is a musical timing is an awesome. I don't know where that goes, but I'm not sure where he was going with it because it didn't quite come out right. So Sean, if you can finish your thought there. DJ Stack Trace, I was a full-time tour musician for about 5 years before the road burned me out. Now I play about 10 gigs a year.
Right.
Yes, gigs. It's okay to use that in that world. And I don't know if you saw it, but last week Brian was fired up because he
about the word gig.
We hate the word gig.
Okay. Oh. Well, it, you know, it's just like saying, yeah, man, or that's cool, or that's hot. I mean, what era were you from? The word gig was created by a musical job. Do you not think that the DJ industry is a musical job? I do.
No, I don't. I hate the word gig. We're going to rehash what we had. To me, it's like saying that broad in the other room is your wife. Like, no, she's not. She's your beautiful wife that you love, that's the mother of your
children. All right, so from now on, we'll just say the word gig backwards. All right,
let's move. Okay. Yeah, anyhow, moving on. Rick Shunk says hello. Sean,
what's up, Rick?
Big Daddy, handsome fellers. He must not be watching our show.
No.
And that's it. So it's a little bit of a quiet night tonight.
That's because
that could be. I don't know. It's because you're not mad at everybody like Brian was last week. I mean, we pretty much just prepped the show that he was just going to get on and yell at people and everybody.
I can truly piss people off if that's what needs to be done.
Yeah. So let's talk about maybe less control, like bringing these people in under your wing per se, but what about acting as a broker and bringing them in for a ceremony, cocktail, you know? It seems like it would be a pretty, I mean, I happen to do it in my business. I got in through osmosis in the sense that I bought an agency that already had relationships with musicians. And then I've continued those relationships and some have gone one way, some have gone another way because some people have retired, you know, different things like that. And some weren't up to my standards of what I wanted for business. But the reality is, like, you know, what do you think about that with regard to, you know, is that something that you think is doable for our audience? Do you think, can you give them an idea of what kind of a profit margin they should be looking at or a markup and kind of go from there?
So if you're let's say wanting to book musicians for, we'll start with the wedding industry.
Right? Okay. Cause 80% of the people now are getting married on property.
And with that, you know, they're having an essence of live music for their ceremony is one of the first things that they think about. If you can offer a duet of musicians, two people that play together all the time, wedding dates, and just, you know, let, you know, you put out a feeler to your clients that you already have booked. I have these really fantastic musicians. Here's some samples of them. So you have to have samples of their work.
Right.
Playing ceremony music, of course. You're not going to sit there and have them play, you know, the
Stairway to Heaven,
R&B and Stairway. Right. So
right.
If you're having musicians that have a routine already and you can offer this service, just like anything else, you want to start with your lost leaders that are coming up soon. So you'd say to your brides and grooms that are coming up within this season. So here's your spring season all the way through until mid-August. So you're going to say, I have something that's fantastic for you. And the musicians take a hit and we take a hit and we get it out there and we get it on video and we get it up onto this, up onto the internet and let people see what you have. I sure. have always been privileged to go out under somebody else's company, blind mm-hmm. label, and represent them, because like we talked about in the very beginning, musicians are wanting to work. They're not necessarily concerned about standing in front of a specific title. They want to play, they want to make money, and that's what they do with their trade. So
okay,
if you send out a duet of musicians for ceremony, and by the way, if you're doing ceremony, I always do it as a 2-hour package. It's ceremony and cocktail hour.
Okay.
And it's not just ceremony, it's pre-ceremony.
Pre-ceremony.
So
half hour before
as the people
come in, reception, length of the ceremony,
and they're playing, you know, Beatles love music, or they're playing some classical stuff. There's some people that love like that 40s vintage stuff, so there's like really some cool sounds you can perform, and okay. they'll come in, they'll play it, and then they move over to the cocktail hour and they can start jazzing and funking it up, and people will really enjoy that. Then they come in to the DJ production. And it's simply going to be the DJ or the MC and the DJ, but they have an option saying, and this is where you make your money back from your lost leader, say, look, I offered you this really great deal for this much more. They will also join you on the reception. So now you can have your musicians for the whole gig. What kind of musicians that you're going to put on for your ceremony and cocktails is going to really depend on the client. I have a Latino family. They're getting married. A guitarist that can do the Spanish feel. There was nothing more gorgeous than when you were hearing these sounds at the ceremony. Then they were able to turn around and play more like classic rock for the cocktail hour. And then when they got into this reception, they just really kind of intonated throughout the sounds of the party music that we were playing. They weren't really doing anything in particular, but they looked cool. And, okay. and that's another thing. They got to look cool. So those DJs with the LED platforms, nothing looks more spectacular than if your musicians are raised above a little bit and you kind of don't do like the random colors that just the random colors is good. You pick the color that the bride's palette is.
Got it.
And they stand on that and it attracts the whole guests, and it looks great in the room. And of course your musician looks superb. So gotcha. that is definitely something you can incorporate as well.
Okay. So then let's get ranges. Retail per musician for like a ceremony, and again it's going to be different based on the geography.
Absolutely. And the
clientele. What are we looking at?
Okay, so in the Philadelphia vicinity, if okay. I were to charge
per, let's just talk ceremony music.
Ceremony music, I will usually charge them for the 2 hours. Okay, so mm-hmm. Am I going to do that? The two hour.
Yeah, let's just go with that. So let's right, say so that people have baby steps. They go, okay.
Yep.
I'll work with some musicians. I'm going to start to offer live ceremony music. Right. It's not too dissimilar from uplighting, but it's people that we're selling.
Now remember, these musicians, if they're working your ceremony and cocktail hour, that's right. it for them for the night, unless they got some low paying jazz gig at a club at like okay. 11, 12 at night. This is it. So really, if you're booking the ceremony and the cocktail hour, your fee for them is really going to be, you're almost paying them what you would pay them for the entire gig for the night. Not as much. So
what are we looking at as a retail? Talk to me.
As a retail, I would say to a bride and groom, if I were to have two ceremony musicians, I would charge, let's say, retail $1,250.
Wow.
Musicians. Okay. Now that's retail. But right. if you're off season, we could bump that down to 1,000. We could bump that down to 8. You're going to pay per musician at least $250 for the ceremony and or cocktail hour, the minimum. Okay. And if they're getting anything less, I don't even know if they're part of the musician network, and you probably got some diamond in the rough and you should take advantage of it as much as possible. But
see, in Chicago, I'm on average 250 a musician.
Right. So that's 500. So
500 bucks. And I'm usually, being totally candid, I'm splitting the difference. They're getting paid 100 and a quarter, and
right. Okay, so if you have a musician that's getting paid $125 for an hour,
well, that's great. 2 hours generally,
right? If you can do 2 hours, then my each musician is getting like $225-$250.
Well, so, Philadelphia is more expensive than Chicago,
and New York, you're going to wind up paying like $1,000 a musician,
right?
And it is $1,000 a musician in Philadelphia if you want these musicians all night. So right. If they're playing the 6 full hours. That you should be charging like $1,000 a musician. That's so do you retail. Think that
my ratio about splitting the difference is pretty fair?
I mean, I think that if you are able to, it's just like anything else. I mean, if you're able to market these musicians from a really wonderful point of view online, if you can use your 4K camera and loop around them while they're playing, and then all of a sudden the lights in their face, and then you're behind them and there's that like shadow and they're playing, and the audio is coming from the direct soundboard, and you have something really great to show them online, you charge what you want, you know, and if they have you booked already, then you got them. I mean,
I'm just trying to give people a guideline for marking up a musician, a hundred percent.
That's what it is. So you're doubling, because obviously you are maintaining the integrity of the musician. So you are the one that's got to be able to, deliver the music. The bride says, "I want the song Yellow from Coldplay." All right. So if they're going to turn around and want that song, and they want the musician to learn it, listen, if that musician screws up that song, that's your ass. Right. So you're going to charge what you need to charge, because you need to make sure that they know it. You're going to have the rehearsals. It's your time. So, and you're taking the risk. And of course, if the musician is late and you got to start schlepping in their equipment through the rain and getting them in and getting set up on time, it's your responsibility. So yeah, you are taking.
I understand. I'm trying to give people guidelines of, you know, where they can make a profit, where it's going to be thinner, things like that.
Yeah.
Let's see. WAB Mobile Entertainment says, well, you got to pay the musician and they need $400 to $500 I know of. And he says, my market is 16 to 20,000.
Is that for a band? 16 to 20,000.
I don't know. You know, WAB Mobile Entertainment, because I don't have your name. If you wouldn't mind, could you please share with me like what market you're in and a little bit more detail? And then DJ.
And tell the sheep over in the Middle East I said hi, because he's probably playing, you know, like the sand dunes and the water oasis.
Okay. DJ Stacktray says, I've been the pianist in a jazz groups during cocktail hour. I definitely didn't get paid $250, but I'm in a smaller market. And so that's why we compared, you know, I'm in middle America. Like I don't do the high end in Chicago. I tend to be the Honda Accord, whereas I know that your clientele is more the Lexus and such. And so there's that. DJ Baxter thinks that 100% markup is pretty high. Quality musicians won't be late. Quality musicians won't screw up the music. So that makes sense.
I agree 100%. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. You're starting off and you're getting to learn who your musicians are. And listen, I'm not trying to say that, you know, if you have a professional, it's always going to go 100%, because it's not. I'm really sorry. Like even the professional musicians, and I work with them all the time, they're not always going to hit it perfectly. But you know, you want to make sure that you hire professionals. And if professionals are indeed on your gig, then, you know, paying them a minimum of $250 in our market is the minimum you're going to pay them. I mean, and that's because you are expecting them to come to the plate with the integrity of making sure that music is done right. Now, if you're hiring them just to dance around and play music in between the raindrops of the song, you can get people that are not as polished.
Musical students, right?
Yeah. So you ask how do you find musicians? Consider going to the universities. Music universities, just like anything else, you have the young prodigies and you have the never wannabes. And the young prodigies, you can keep your ear out for. There's times that you can go during career day. They want to know how they're going to be able to take their musicianship to the next level. Not only are their colleagues saying, yeah, man, there's gigs in this town, but you're there to put the feeler out and say, look, you can join our DJ production.
Okay.
At $16,000 to $20,000, I think they're probably referring to the entire band, because there are bands, including myself. I just booked on a Saturday night. It's a 14-piece band. Okay, so 14 pieces is going to have five horns. It's going to have four front vocalists. It's going to have a backline of keys, drums, bass, guitar, congas, a violinist. So it's really full sounding, wonderful production.
I just added up. That's actually 18 people.
How many?
18. I'm totally kidding.
Like, did he really?
And there's the guy that runs the flux capacitor.
Did you say flux capacitor?
So WAB Mobile Entertainment is actually William. So, William, thanks for putting a name.
William Wallace, Cal 50, man.
He's based around the St. Louis 50. Area, and he says, we are talking two-man group guitar and piano. Now, two-man group, what are we talking about? Talk to me, big guy. Talk to musicians between sets at their gigs. A lot of them would be happy to join you at a wedding. So, yeah, so if you're in a multiple room venue, or if there's a set of ceremony musicians that are working a wedding that you're at, I'm sure, again, networking is a terrific
thing. Well, I want to know what was $16,000 to $20,000.
Yeah, I don't know. That would be, I would consider taking piano lessons.
I would consider moving to hell wherever he is, because that's some great ass money. I would love to see it for you know. I thought he was saying Blue Man Group. So he's bringing the Blue Man Group and two musicians. All right, well, I understand.
It's a two-man group. It's actually Eric Clapton and Billy Joel playing piano. So that might be more than $16,000 to $20,000, though.
I don't know. It's getting to the point where they might even accept that at one point in time. I don't know.
Not now, they won't. Billy Joel's still selling out every stadium he has. So
unbelievable. Yeah, but he takes a nap in between songs now. He's like getting to the point.
He's
falling asleep on his piano.
Okay, my market is 16,000 to 20,000 people. Okay.
He's in the stadium
area. So, but no, again, here's the good and the bad part is with all of these brides looking online at The Knot and Wedding Wire and Pinterest and everything else, they're getting the ideas. And the real question is, can you turn their wants into a contract? You know, and that's what it comes down to. And if it's not you, it might be somebody else. So,
okay, so do DJs showcase, and when they go to the wedding fairs, you know, do you want to bring a musician with you? Why not? I have seen now here's something very interesting that I saw at a wedding fair, which I really admired, is that the DJ was spinning, but they didn't want to interrupt the music that was going on in the entire room. They didn't want to fight. So people had headphones that they were able to put on and listen to the DJ spin. In addition to the DJ spinning, and by the way, if we can't use gig, you can't say spin, okay? Because there's, you know, it's not, there's more electronic movement going on now. You know, it's spinning as much anymore with the vinyl, and no offense to the vinyl users, but, you know, gig and spinning are kind of like, you know. So if I were to turn and say, how can I incorporate a musician and be able to sell it? Have a musician sit in with the DJ while the guests are putting on their headphones and watching this, and they can see them perform.
You're talking about like silent disco kind of a thing?
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have to be Bluetooth. So if it, you know, because Bluetooth, the Bluetooth setup can be a little bit more expensive, but if you have where people can put on headphones or ear pods, or just some even have pods where there's like an entire array where you can put your eighth inch jack right in and be able to listen to what's going on, and they can hear the musicians incorporate with the DJ, vice versa. So you can do that. Well, it's either that, Casey, or you can film the performance at your warehouse, throw up some pipe and drape, do some professional, and get it up online, or have once a month or once a week or every other day showcases so people can come and see it. It just depends on how much you want to incorporate yourself into it. Now,
DJ Backtrace says, I really like the idea of bringing a musician to a wedding fair. And you know what? I've done it. In fact, we would set up a trio that would work for me at a prorated fee because it was a Sunday morning, and they would just be out there in the very beginning, just in the for an hour, which was like the big push as everybody came through. And so we would have them playing, we'd have our cards with them, and people would just pick up cards. The thing that was so interesting about it is I think sometimes they almost felt like the trio was like a piece of furniture. It just fit in so naturally. They like cruised right by, like it was a mood setting thing as opposed to an actual like
that's why you have to put them on like the LED platforms, or you put them in a specific type of jacket, something to catch their eye that doesn't blend in with the furniture. So that is one of the things you have to do. So
William says, I do have singers using backing tracks at some of his events too. So it sounds like he's already kind of putting his feet in the water, or more than putting his feet in the water. He's already there.
If you're going to sing to tracks though, and the only advice I can tell people is just like any other karaoke specialist. If you're a karaoke specialist, if you're getting tracks, there are tracks that you can get that also come with the harmony vocalists, and then there's the tracks you can get without them at all. And I would tell you that if you want to come off more authentic, don't do the ones with the harmonies. Get other vocalists to harmonize with you on those tracks. That way it doesn't come off as karaoke. And it should be live musicians playing the track. Because there are many tracks out there where people might not go for the right direction, and they're going to start illegally downloading tracks that not only suck in quality, but are also very poorly produced. So it doesn't have the true authenticity of the actual recording, and that is what you want. And now if you go to, I'll plug them, even though they should be being one of your sponsors for plugging them. But Karaoke Version, I think it's called. Okay. Karaoke-version.com, something of that nature.
All right.
Karaoke Version. What's nice is not only can you have a choice as to removing the additional vocals, but you can also change the key. And once you purchase the song, you can always go back. You can change the key again. Because let's say you have a female vocalist that you say, all right, you know, you're really great. And all of a sudden she starts showing up late. And next thing you know, she smells like cigarette smoke. And you can tell that, look, the truth be told, musicians are artists. And just like most artists, they have their ish. So when you start to see musicians going through their ish, you be prepared to constantly audition. I had a very good friend of mine say, I constantly audition. You never know when you're going to have to switch tracks and bring in somebody new. Or things are going so great, you need to have additional vocalists. Or, you know, you wind up needing two vocalists on a gig to do all these harmonies. So you always have to be auditioning. And okay. When these people are singing to these tracks, you really can beef up. You can beef up the quality. So that's what I say for vocalists.
That's what William actually uses. And John was nice enough to post the link on the YouTube.
You're welcome, Karaoke Version.
And William says musicians are death. So I think that's one of those things where it's one of those things where it's like everything. There's good, there's bad, and they're finicky.
And there's ugly.
Okay. Yeah.
Thundercats.
Got it. So ceremony we covered. Cocktail is kind of simple, wouldn't you say?
Very, very, very simple. Cocktail hour is, you know, you can have everything from a pianist to let's make sure that we understand that if you're going to have a vocalist that is playing, or excuse me, if you're going to have a musician that's playing your cocktails, some people like to sing with their playing. A guitarist may bring a mic. Be very careful about if they're singing and how they sing, because the fact is you could be hiring them as a musician to play guitar, but their vocal skills may not be that of what you want for that gig. Okay. Right. Maybe it would be great at a bar, but for a, you know, black tie wedding, it may not be the type of sound you need. Also, you know, you need to, we need to also break into a little bit of conversation about not just the musicians being incorporated into your gig, but making an entire band. And okay. and that's something that as you start,
that's something that we can talk about more at Marquee, because we only have about 11 minutes left.
All right, so we'll save that for Marquee. So, but if I could give you a teaser on that, yeah,
teaser.
Okay.
Or, so, in all fairness, we can actually do a part two and have you back again.
Well, no, this is
after July, though.
That's fine. So, just remember, if you're bringing in the components of a vocalist, a conga percussionist, mm-hmm. and let's say a sax or a saxophone player, these are three of the beginning components of a band. Then you just have to fill in the bass player, the guitar, and the drums, and that's it. But then, you know, the DJ, it remains the DJ, but you have to also bring in someone that's going to watch the sound. So there's a soundboard that's involved. You got to make sure everybody's blended, everybody can hear each other, and that the guests, when they're dancing, everything sounds clean. Yeah. And then, you know, so bringing in a hybrid where the DJ is playing certain rhythms and everything, we'll talk about that at Marquee. But when you want to talk about a retail and how you can incorporate live music, you can do $5,000 for a 6-piece band to join your DJ production. And okay. your overhead is going to be somewhere around $2,000 at the most.
Okay.
And the rest is yours.
Gotcha. Remember, before we wrap up, John's got a question for you.
Okay. So
I'm sure he'll jump back on. Band leader, again, DJ Stack Trace. If you hire a good band leader, he can assemble the right musicians for the job. The band leader is responsible for the group. If someone sounds bad, it's on him. And yeah, I get that. But in this case, folks, I don't know if you know, but Adam's the band leader. So
well, I grew up as a band leader. So, right. But not every DJ is going to understand being the band leader. And as the ensemble gets larger, you're going to have to separate also your band leader from your music director. And that's what happens when you wind up having a lot of different things going on in your group while you're performing. There's people that have to talk to all the musicians. And then the band leader has to be able to incorporate communication between the guests at the party and the band director. And then you can use things like talkback mics where you're singing and everybody's having a good time. And then you guys are like, listen, man, this lady, she's going to come up to us again and she's going to, you know, she's going to bite my ankle if we don't play this song. So turn to number 26. And then you can keep talking to the crowd. Talkback mics are used all the time with bands, and it's a great way to communicate, just like if you're using wireless talkback mics to other people if you're an MC out and about. So great things to incorporate in Marquee, and I'm looking forward to it in July.
Very good.
All right.
Very good indeed. So, but we can start kind of recapping. So you don't have to be a musician in order to be a band leader, is what you're saying.
To bring in musicians into your network of DJing, no. To be a band leader, you have to really understand each musician's responsibilities. And you'll learn that simply by working with them. You'll understand right. their responsibilities simply by working with them more and more. Then you'll learn their responsibilities as they all work together with you. You'll have your band leading badge eventually, but you know, if you haven't been a band leader before, it takes a while, like anything else. Like a band leader can't be a DJ, even right. though they may understand rhythm. They have no idea about bringing songs in together, or maybe these songs sound great, but how can we incorporate them into a mix? They have no idea. So right. it's a whole different.
Like I like to sing in C flat.
You would. That's B, me. Baby.
I know. I just want to know if anybody knew what C flat was.
Okay.
So 9 years of piano and I got one joke. That's money that my parents really threw out the window.
All right.
They would have just bought me an Atari. It would have been a much better life. So what can I tell you? So Will wants to know what John's question is. Are you up here, John?
Yeah, I'll jump in here.
Hey, there he is.
Hey, Adam. Hey, John Young. What's up, man?
Hey, doing well. Doing well. Thanks. This has been really fascinating for myself, not so much because I'm the band leader or any of it, but I have a couple of teenage sons who are very musical. And my 16-year-old is one of these that could, he can play, you know, seven different instruments. And my question was, if you were going to recommend that he really focus on one that could allow him to make money as he's working his way through college, doing performing and such out, whether it's at weddings or with bands and such, which instrument would be probably one of the best ones for him to focus on with a young man who is a guitar, keyboard, drummer?
Okay, so brass. You know, there's your, you know, your multifaceted musician that can play many different instruments. If you have someone that's like that, you know, obviously you can incorporate them into a lot of different bands, but the bands themselves are going to know very quickly which instrument is his strongest. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that say, oh, I play guitar, I play drums, I play a bass, I play a little of this. And first of all, when you hear that, I play a little of this, they don't play it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the first thing you should know. I play a little bass unless they're saying that to be modest. And then they
Don't you slap the bass? Isn't that what it is? You slap the bass.
Slap it. You can pick it. You can bow it. You can shrimp and buy barbecue shrimp.
William and DJ Backtrace are both voting for piano.
Piano is great. And one of the fun things that you can invest in, which I have a Yamaha keytar, and the keytars, what's really nice about it is you can download all your sound effects. So it looks like you're playing the guitar, but really you're just kicking in different types of effects. You can play the piano, you can add sound effects, you can do all different types of things with it. But, the keyboardists themselves, you know, I think the people that understand the piano the most are going to be probably your most accomplished musicians, because they, you know, understanding just single note and chords and being and having to read is really imperative when it comes to understanding music as a beginning factor. But there are unbelievable guitarists out there. So to answer your question, John, if you want to say, okay, well, what are your kids going to get into? So DJs, you have kids, they're going to be going to school, they're going to be going to college. Definitely there's going to be a network of musicians that are going on in their city that they're going to college in. So in Philly, all these people that come into Temple University, University of Pennsylvania, LaSalle, you know, if you're going to be a musician in the city, there are networks that you can join online. You can, again, go check out the university hop boards. And there are, of course, nothing's better than getting to know the other cats, like going to the gigs and like you said, sitting in. So if there's another musician in another room, of course you're going to go in. I've met some of the greatest musicians simply by sitting in. So I would, at the end of my gigs, when I was younger and I didn't have to like come home, I would go out to the jazz clubs and I would be out there till 2-3 in the morning. And I would see some of the cats that I actually worked with, on other jobs. They had other weddings they were going on to, and we were all playing together, and they were introducing me to some new people. And by the way, DJs, that is something also you're going to have to accept. Musicians love to network with each other. There is no badge that says they belong to you. It's just not going to happen. If you want this musician to stay with you long term, give them the gigs as far in advance as you can get. That's the best way to keep them. They're going to go where the bread is. And if you don't have the business, they do love you. They really do. But
oh, geez, there we go. You just pulled the Byron gun.
I'm sorry, man. I got children to feed.
We had them 58 minutes. We had them for 58 minutes.
Yeah, man. But 10 o'clock's coming, and that's my time. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, boy. Where's my corner?
That's why my seminars are only 50 minutes. See, we had them for 58. So if you would have wrapped at 50, you could have run 10 minutes worth of commercials.
And God bless you for having talented kids, because you know what the best talented kind of musicians are? Free talented musicians.
Now, he said
take
that his
advantage of that.
He never said his kids were talented. He was just looking for a gig for them. That's all.
So, I also, you know, I love my clients when they call me on the phone and they say, oh, you know, my son plays guitar. You know, can he come out and play with you? Then you could say, there's two things you could say. One, I'm no. really sorry, but I don't hire my clients' offspring because it usually winds up becoming a hot mess if they don't wind up working out. Or the second thing is, yeah, I can audition them. And then what they're, you know, they're looking going, oh, my child is, and you're going, oh, geez.
You know, you guys know Joe Hecht from Los Angeles?
Joe
Hecht. I know Adam does. Do you know, John?
No, I don't.
He had a similar situation. He did a bar mitzvah boys, young man's bar mitzvah, and became great friends with the family. And they said, you know, my son's a really good musician. And Joe said, yeah, sure. And the kid went on to be a musician. He's actually the founding member of Linkin Park.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Okay. So you're talking about a statistic that, you know, that's a yeah. shred of hair and everybody's supposed to relate to this.
Well, you know.
Well, there was that right. one time.
There is that one it time.
At Bandcamp. Anyhow, so it's been a great hour. So thank you, Adam, for filling in.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Next week, we're hoping we're extending an invitation to Byron Gunter to talk to Brian about the side hustle and his arguments for the side hustle. Now, I called his office the other day. Yesterday, I got his voicemail. And if you saw, he was out cutting down trees in his backyard because he posted that all over Facebook as well. I'm hoping that I'll shoot him a note that he'll accept coming onto our show. He and by, you know, it's always good ratings when Brian's mad or when, you know, when he's fired up. So maybe Byron will be mad. Brian will be mad. I'll appear to be the calm, rational one, which is, you know,
ironic.
Yeah, it happens about as often as one of your bar mitzvah boys becomes the lead singer of a famous group. But that's that. So once again, Adam, thank you so very much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Going to once again say you can see Adam at the Marquee Show. And you're going to go to Marquee Show, MarqueeShow.com. We just announced our Tuesday lineup, which is pretty spectacular. So we have Monday and Tuesday lined up. Adam's going to be speaking on Tuesday afternoon, actually. And so you're going to want to come out and check it out. It's a beautiful 75 degrees here in Chicago already. So if you're not following us, follow us on Marquee Show on Facebook. And that's it. So that's all I got. 9:02, John, my time. 10:02, Adam's time. So that's it. Thank you all for tuning in. Good night.
Pleasure.
God bless.
Good night, everybody.
Tonight's DJ and TV show is sponsored in part by Electro Voice, DJ Event Planner, ADJ, NLFX Professional, Promo Only, Newmark, and DJ and TV Insiders.